Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion of Lamb Ministries, and welcome to our program. This is a program that we've entitled The Messianic Teachings of the Letters of Paul. The Apostle Paul is the predominant teacher in the New Testament for a lot of Christian brethren, and there's a lot of folks who, in teaching what Paul has said, have drawn certain particular conclusions from his teaching. Some of those include things like he taught the difference between law and grace, and he taught the difference between Israel and the church, and they use him for a lot of the basic doctrine that's taught in the church. There is a very interesting passage of Scripture in the New Testament that talks about Paul's teachings, his letters. It's by the Apostle Peter. And I want to read that to you. It's from 2 Peter 3, verse 14. It begins there. It says, this is Peter speaking now. He says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction." Peter is saying that he already has seen some of the writings of Paul, and there are already people who are taking what Paul has written, and because they don't have the same background of spiritual training that Paul had, they are misinterpreting what Paul said, they are distorting what Paul said, and they're coming up with the wrong conclusions. And Peter's saying, this is devastating. This is turning out to be an incredible mess. You know, if you take the average Christian believer today and you show them that verse and you say, okay, this is what Peter's talking about, the letters of Paul, tell me, show me an example in the letters of Paul where people have distorted that along with the other scriptures and as a result have twisted it where it's all messed up. Show me an example of that. You know what? The average Christian can't name a single issue that Paul wrote about that is a candidate for what Peter was talking about. And part of the reason is, and this is the thesis of what I'm sharing with you in this program, is that's how much distortion has taken place. I am here to share with you, as I shared with you in the introduction, that the Apostle Paul, his name was Shaul of Tarsus, that's his Hebrew name, that he was a Torah scholar. He had been a disciple of Gamaliel. By the way, that's some pretty heavyweight credentials within the Jewish world as to what his education and training was in the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. I mean, he knew the Torah, he knew the Psalms, he knew the history of Israel, and he knew the prophets. And so he uses that as his reference material to come and teach you about the Messiah, both to Jews that sometimes were at odds with him, and also to the Gentiles who had had no training before. So part of his teaching, he's actually teaching you the Torah. He's teaching Torah concepts. Now, as I said to you earlier, there's a lot of Christians, when they hear me say that, they go, what? What are you talking about, teaching Torah concepts? What in the world are you talking about? Yeah, there are, in the Torah, there are huge spiritual concepts that lay the foundation for all of the teaching. Moses was given the task to take the commandments of God and give additional explanation and understanding to understand what God is doing with mankind, what the Creator is doing with mankind, the story of redemption, how is that going to work? The whole substitutionary system, how God's rules and laws work, what God calls justice and righteousness. Those definitions for those key things don't go away. When the Messiah came, he came teaching exactly those things. However, in the days of Yeshua, the religious leaders of his day, they had already begun to distort those things. In fact, Yeshua accused the religious leaders of his day, "You prefer the precepts of men to the commandments of God." He basically is saying, you go around saying you teach the law. You don't teach the law. You're not teaching what Moses taught. You're not teaching what the prophets said. And he would quote the prophecy. He said, "Truly Isaiah spoke of you," you know, when he was talking about their misdeeds. He also said that they preferred their traditions and their customs over the customs of Moses, over the commandments that God had given. That was a contentious issue with the Messiah. By the way, the Apostle Paul grew up in that Pharisaic world. He was one of the guys that was there at the execution of Stephen. He was one of the guys there, standing with the guys, making false accusations against Stephen, about Yeshua and what he had done. But then, as you know, he had this incredible conversion on the road to Damascus. And as a result, he got to spend some direct time with the Messiah. And I'll tell you what I think the Messiah did with him. I think the Messiah took him back to his original teaching. He said, "Did you really understand what you had been taught?" And once that got straightened out, and he suddenly saw, oh my gosh, Moses was talking about Yeshua, the prophets, they were talking about him. All of a sudden, it all became clear to him. And then God used him with great purpose to be the man who would go out to the Gentiles, to be able to explain to the Gentiles some of these basic Torah teachings that where we learn about the Messiah. And he teaches at that level. But the average Christian today has no idea that he's teaching actually what the Torah and the prophets say. Part of this study is to go through some of that. And I want to point those kinds of things out to you. Let me summarize here for a moment just a little bit of a hint of the level that I need to share with you along the way. We're going to look at the letters of Paul, and the first book we're going to look at, the first letter, is the book of Romans. It's absolutely loaded with information about what I'm just now discussing with you. Paul, in the course of writing his letters, is going to give you the base teachings of Abraham. Abraham's called the father of faith. He's going to teach you the base teachings of what God says faith is and what it's not. He's going to teach you about commandments and what is the law and what it's not. He's also even going to cover some of the scribal marks, you know, the jots and tittles, which most of you are not aware what that is. But in the actual Hebrew script, the scribes make special marks in the scripture. Sometimes they'll embold a letter, make a letter small. Sometimes they'll stigmatize a little. They'll draw the letter in a weird way. And those are teachings in the Torah. And Paul, I'm going to show you that Paul's going to teach some of those in the New Testament. He's going to be actually teaching from that. I'll point those out to you when we get there. One of the things that Paul's going to emphasize, and he's never going to teach differently to you, is that covenants are eternal with God. God does not change. When he makes a covenant with mankind, that covenant remains in effect. Now, men may not necessarily keep it, but God keeps the covenants. That's what makes God God. He keeps covenant. And at no time is Paul going to teach you that any covenant has annulled the previous covenant. At no time is he going to teach that. He's instead going to be teaching about that everything that we see happening with the Messiah and what's happening in the faith today, in his day, it's all part of the plan of what Moses and the prophets had to say, and that the Messiah came doing what Moses and the prophets said would happen. So this concept of, oh, well, he's teaching new things, I have news for you. No, he's teaching the old things, but for you, they're like new because you've never had a teacher ever teach you those. So we're going to try to cover some of that so you can see what Paul's really doing. He's also going to teach exactly what the character of God is. The same character God that God uses to describe himself in the Torah and the prophets. The idea that the Messiah is something new in the thought of the character and definition of God is crazy. God has always said that about himself. So he's going to reinforce that. There's going to be some very key words being used by Paul in the course of his teaching. Some of the words he's going to use are truth, justice, grace, mercy, salvation, redemption, sanctification, and atonement. And he's going to use the definitions for those words that come from Moses and the prophets. He's not going to be changing those definitions to what a lot of churchmen have changed them into. And he's not going to be the guy who justifies why the churchmen changed those definitions. He's also going to point out the difference between clean and unclean, pure and impure, and holy and profane. And his whole teaching, his whole message is going to be one of trying to encourage people to follow through with the great story of redemption. The great story of redemption is about Israel coming out of Egypt. It's a story about Joseph and how they first became enslaved in Egypt. And Joseph is a picture of the Messiah who will go for the benefit of the brethren, being rejected by his brothers, but also fulfilling those things. And he's going to take it from that story of redemption and carry it into explaining the great things the Messiah have done. Now, because he's a Torah scholar, and he is skilled, he's going to use some, shall we say, some complicated sentences. In other words, he wants to cover all the points accurately and correctly, so he's going to make some statements that a lot of people, when they first hear the statements, it's hard to be understood. It's not simplistic. It's very specific. It's very precise. And this is where the problem comes in. And the efforts of people who don't have his background and don't understand the Torah teaching and don't know what the prophet said, they will take what Paul's doing. He's making an argument. He's repeating what that is. And they think it's about something else. Even though he has said what his source material is, even though he's done that. One of the things I did in the introduction, and I want to repeat this again, because it's what we're still dealing with today. There was a rumor about the Apostle Paul. The rumor sprung up when he was out teaching amongst the Gentiles that he was actually telling Jews and Gentiles, don't keep the law. That rumor came up. He came back to Jerusalem. That was reported to him. James counseled him that we know that's not true. And by the way, we're going to prove that it's not true. We're going to have you take these four men under Nazarite vow. Why don't you go in with them, pay their fees? You go into the temple, and that way it will prove once and for all you walk orderly keeping the law. Paul went with those men to the temple. That was where he got arrested. And he proceeded, once he got arrested, to testify on his behalf, not only with the crowd, but before the Roman governors and before other Jewish leaders, that he has done nothing against the law. He has taught nothing against the law. And yet they want to reject him, and yet they want to be at odds with him because he's teaching about Yeshua being the Messiah. To this day, when we point out to Christians, there's a rumor about Paul not teaching the law and teaching against the law. The average Christian thinks that rumor is true. New Testament is very emphatic about this, trying to prove that that's not true. Yet, they continue to take his teachings and try to justify why he's teaching against the law. The fact of the matter is he's not teaching against the law. The fact of the matter is, just like what Peter said, there's a lot of people talking about Paul who are untaught and unstable, and they twist not only what Paul has said, they twist the other scriptures as well. Now, enough on repeating of our introduction that we gave last week, but I need to make sure you're up to speed because we're getting ready to go into his letters, and the first one that we're going to go into is the letter of Romans. And so let's make sure that we know a couple of things right off the bat with regard to this. Paul, throughout the New Testament, has a very clear testimony, according to the New Testament, that he himself keeps the law. He kept kosher. He kept the Sabbath. It says Sabbath was his custom. He kept the feasts. He would travel back to the temple He was still doing all the things the law did. He was amongst other fellow messianic Jewish believers who were all zealous for the law, the book of Acts says. He was in the midst of them, accepted by them, and so forth. So he's going to write now this book called Romans. And so let's give a little bit of a context here to what's going on with the Romans. As you know, Paul was arrested and he appealed to Caesar, and that's how he ended up in Rome. And when he first went up there, it was kind of an interesting house arrest. He wasn't being in a cell. He just was there and he was biding his time. They had one soldier who kept an eye on him, but he was kind of under house arrest, so to speak. Luke would come and visit him. He would fellowship with other people would come and visit him, and he would have fellowship with them. One of the groups that he met with were Jews that were in Rome. And he sat down with them and began to share the same things with them that he was sharing with the Gentiles. And as you can imagine, here's Jews that are separate from Jerusalem, and they have certain ideas about what they think Moses has said. Well, here comes Paul, who's a Torah scholar, and so he's teaching them some of the things so they can understand what the law said in particular. And the book of Romans is going to take particular questions that Jews have when they hear about the gospel. And he's going to be addressing some of the things, their misunderstandings about the law. And so he's going to be taking issue with what the Pharisees and the Sadducees have taught about the law, and he's going to be teaching the law correctly to them. Now, the scripture tells us that some of the Jews that were in Rome believed him and became believers, but certain other ones were opposed, and they began to develop their further arguments. So Paul is writing this letter after they've had these meetings, after they've had trying to document and so that they understand how to sort some of those issues out, particularly with Jews, Jewish believers. It's not a book targeting Gentile believers, but it includes them because not only were there Jewish believers in Rome, there were also many Gentile believers, or Roman citizens who became believers as well. So he's addressing a multitude of issues for them for that. I want to read to you the opening words of the book of Romans, the opening paragraph where he gives a greeting. I want you to listen very clearly to how Paul's now introducing himself to his fellow Jewish brethren, as well as other Gentiles that were listening at that point in Rome. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says this, Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord, through whom we have received grace, apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you have all been called of Yeshua the Messiah, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. That's a very nice introduction, but did you know that there is a tremendous amount of information in it? Essentially, what I just tried to give you is an introduction. That's what he's saying. He wants to convince his Jewish brethren, but he's also understanding there's Gentile brethren, and he's trying to explain that where I'm coming from is what comes from the scriptures. It comes from Moses. It comes from the law. It comes from the prophets. So the first thing I wanted you to take note of is that first line where he says, Paul, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle. You know, it's kind of interesting because when most of us talk about the Apostle Paul, that's the way we say it, the Apostle Paul. Like Apostle and Paul go together. That's his title. According to this, he says, no, that's what I'm called. But if you ask Paul, well, Paul, who are you? Who are you really? He says, I'm a bondservant of Yeshua of Nazareth. I'm a bondservant. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the law. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he spoke from the mountain and he gave it. Moses later on went back up to the mountain to receive additional instructions, additional ordinances, commandments, statutes, and so forth. The scripture elaborates on that. And the first instruction, the first commandment that was given to Moses after the Ten Commandments is actually called the law of the bondservant. Now, this is specifically in Exodus 21. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Exodus 21, he goes into this commandment. Let me read to you from Exodus 21. I want to read this commandment to you and see what you think about it. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children still belong to the master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, I love my wife and my children, I will not go out as a free man, then his master shall bring him to God, and then he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. The expression is that a bondservant is a servant who has freedom, and he surrenders his freedom because of love and commits himself to be a servant again for the reason of love. So he's called a bond servant for it. That's the expression of how to do it. Whether you realize it or not, the reason why that commandment is given right after the Ten Commandments is because every person who accepts Yeshua as the Messiah, that you've been set free from your sins, that he has paid the price for you, from that point forward, in keeping the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, you're supposed to, out of the reason of love, to take your freedom from sin and turn around and become the servant of God forever. And part of the declaration that's made for a bondservant is he has to publicly declare, I love my master, I love my wife and children that my master has given to me, and I, for the reason of love, I will not go out as a free man. Now, I'm going to fast forward to some teaching that Yeshua did. Yeshua taught this. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my bondservants. In other words, what he did was he took the same law of bondservant, and Yeshua said, now once you become a believer in me, you're going to be making a public declaration. You're going to say that you love your master, you love the Lord, that you love your wife and children that your master has given to you, and that you love the brethren of the master. And for those reasons, you will not go as a free man anymore. You will be a bondservant. Paul is stating right up front in his letter, do not consider me to be a free man, free of my sin. I am the servant of the master. I've committed myself to it forever. By the way, he's not the only one that does this. Peter does this. James does this. Jude does this. In the writing of the letters, they start their letters off the same way. Peter, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle. James, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle. Jude, a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, called an apostle. Each one emphasizes this. You know what they're saying right off the bat? We're going to follow that commandment that follows the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that go with it. We are committing ourselves to following Moses and the prophets, and we're going to keep all the commandments of the Lord. You know, it's as simple as this. Nobody keeps commandments to get salvation. Once they get salvation, that's the reason why they keep commandments. Once you believe in the Messiah, you want to do what the Messiah wants you to do. You want to love him. And Yeshua has taught us very specifically, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, one of the distortions that Christians have a tendency to do is they think Paul wasn't referring to the law of Moses. They think he came up with a wordage of the law of the Christ, the law. In other words, there's some new form of understanding commandments that's in the New Testament that's completely different from what was done by Moses and those beforehand. Let me submit to you right now, Paul, in opening up his introduction, ties himself back to the law of Moses. And all of the statements that he's going to do, he's going to be referencing that. He is not putting forth a new set of commandments. He's not putting forth a new covenant that is distorted from the covenant that's prophesied in the scriptures. It's going to go even more so than that as we get into this. So this whole business that he is a bondservant is a very significant statement. That's a testimony that I keep the law. That's what that means. And so that's what Paul has done for us here as well. You'll find that John, the Apostle John, is even more emphatic about this, in which that he will say, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you love one another. And Yeshua, John brings that emphasis out in his gospel, and he says, emphasizes, by this all men will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. A bondservant can be a bondservant to any master, but if you're going to be a bondservant to Yeshua, the thing that distinguishes you is that last statement that Yeshua gave. Take the law of the bondservant, but make the emphasis on the love of the other disciples, the love of the brethren. And John, in his letter, talking about the same section, and when talking about 1 John 2:7, he says, Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Does that sound like John is talking about a new set of commandments in the New Testament different from what he heard before? I would remind you that when all these words were written by them, there was no New Testament yet. The only scriptures that they had at this point was Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. That was the scriptures. And so he's making reference, John is making reference, don't give me something about new commandments. This business about loving one another, that is part of the old commandment. Now, we use the term new commandment because basically it's new to you. You haven't been keeping it. So when as you start to keep the commandment, it's like new to you. I've always said this about messianics, new messianics coming in. If the Old Testament seems new to you and the New Testament seems old to you, you might be messianic because there's like this slip that takes place. All of a sudden, you have the eyes to see what Moses and the prophets were seeing. Now you see more clearly what was being explained by Yeshua, what was being explained by the apostles. And so it's refreshed. It becomes new. It becomes clear instead of, let's just pay attention to the New Testament and ignore the Old Testament. Of which, by the way, there are many Christians, that's the only spiritual training they've ever received. So you can imagine if they have no idea that Paul's referring to Moses and the prophets, this gets very confusing for them when it comes to how this is all supposed to work. The very next point I want to take you to is the fact that in Romans 1, verse 5, you know, where he gave his introduction, he said this, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the, are you ready for this? The obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Did you know that Moses and the prophets prophesied that the Torah was supposed to go out to all the nations? That the Messiah would teach the Torah to all of the nations. Now, that's completely different from what Judaism teaches, and that's definitely different from what Christianity teaches. But that's what the prophet said. And here's Paul making reference to that prophecy by saying that his ministry is to carry out what the prophets had said. Let me repeat it to you again, verse 5. through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. By the way, did you know that all the commandments of God were given to all mankind? Let's just dismiss this right off the bat. The law wasn't just given to the Jews, and the New Testament is given to the Gentiles and the Christians. The law, all the commandments that were given by Moses, are for all people. The scripture says it very clearly. It's for the native born, that was the descendants of Jacob, to the aliens, the strangers, and the sojourners. To all peoples, no matter where they come from, if they believe in the God of Israel, these commandments apply to them. The scripture is also emphatic that the assembly that came out of Egypt was a mixed multitude. It wasn't just the native born. It was people from other nations. It was slaves that had been released from Egypt. It was all kinds of people. And when they went to Mount Sinai, God did not take the native born of Jacob, the people that are going to become, you know, Israel and Judah and Jews. He didn't put them over here on one side of Mount Sinai and say to them, by the way, here's my commandments, here's the Ten Commandments, blah, blah, blah. Now, I want you to assemble all those non-Jewish people, all those non-Israelite people. I want you to assemble them over here. And by the way, I only have two commandments. We love God and love everybody else. That didn't happen. There was only one assembly of everybody. And when God spoke, he spoke all the commandments to all the people. So what is Paul going to specifically talk about the first thing in the book of Romans? Hey, the gospel is not just for the Christians. The gospel is also for the Jews. And oh, by the way, the law is not just for the Jews. The law is for everybody. That's what he's going to teach. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Who does that include? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why did he say to the Jew first? Because that's where the Messiah went. He went to Jerusalem, he went to Israel, he fulfilled the prophecies. So the gospel, good news, went to the Jews, but it's also supposed to go to the Greeks. Now, if that's what the Messiah is doing, it's for everybody. Well, then it makes sense that what God had been doing previously was for everybody as well. Now, if you have drawn the conclusion that the law is strictly for the Jews, doesn't apply to you as a Christian believer, and that the gospel is for you, but it's not for the Jews, by the way, that is a teaching that the church does, I can assure you, you are going to distort what Paul is teaching, because he is not teaching that. He's teaching the opposite of that. You're going to distort what he has taught so severely, you probably are going to bring God's judgment on top of you, which is what Peter said would happen. So let's set that aside. Let's make sure that we understand what's going on here. Let me read the next verse for you. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. Amen and amen. That's what the law teaches. The righteous shall live by faith. So that's a key point that we're making here. Now he's going to make another point in that chapter, and he's going to say that the wrath of God is coming upon idolaters and those who are perverse. That the world has got a problem with God. And God's judgment is going to be coming soon, and he's giving them the need and the reason why they need to seek redemption that Moses and the prophets spoke of, that they need to seek the redemption that Yeshua the Messiah has provided for us. If you don't explain the need to people and you try to offer a solution to them, it doesn't make any sense to them. I've always said that don't try to sell vacuum cleaners to people that live in tents. They don't need a vacuum cleaner to clean out their tent. Maybe a broom, but they don't need a vacuum cleaner. So you're not going to be a very successful vacuum cleaner salesman if you're going into a city that everybody lives in tents. Well, the same thing is true. If I'm going out into the nations, I'm going out to a people, and everybody thinks, oh, I'm fine, And you try to say to them, you know, you really need to come to know about the work of the Messiah, the redemptive work that he's done. Accept and believe in him and trust him, and then he'll give you the gift of eternal life. Everybody's going around and going, well, what are you talking about? What's sin? What are you talking about? I don't need that. There was a campaign, a gospel campaign that went out and said, where they were announcing, I found him. You know, there was a little bumper sticker, I found him. And it was supposed to intrigue you to get you to go, you found what? Oh, him, you know, Yeshua, I found Yeshua, I found redemption, you know. So there was a bunch of mockers that came out and said, I never lost it. We got a lot of people walking around the world, and you think that you don't have any need of knowing anything about the law. You don't need to know the commandments of God. You know, they go around and actually saying, well, I have the grace of God. I believe in Jesus. That's all I need. And I don't need to know about the commandments. Do you realize that in the statement that you just made there, it's called blasphemy? Do you realize that God is planning on judging people for that? And that's exactly what, listen to what Paul says about this. We're still in chapter 1. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. If you speak against the law and the prophets, you are suppressing the truth and you are standing in the path of a wrathful God who will judge you for it. He goes on. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. God has told you already basic things about good and bad, right and wrong. He's giving you this innate sense within your soul that you know you have to make those judgments. So you've decided to take God's instructions that give you the details of what is good and what is bad, and the instructions concerning what is holy and what is profane, what is clean and unclean, what is holy and pure, and you've decided to just throw it all away. Disregard it. I really don't need that stuff. I'm smarter than whatever God has said. The very act, the very thought, is one of the reasons why God's wrath will be coming on the whole world. Now, that's no different than the unbeliever who knows nothing about God, dismisses the creation, and is the fool who says, oh, I don't believe in God. The guy who stands up and says, well, I don't believe in God, he's standing in the same place right beside the so-called believer who says, well, I don't need the instructions of the Lord. I don't need his instructions in righteousness. I don't need to know about his commandments. There's not a spit of difference between you and an unbeliever at that moment. That's what Paul's saying right here. The introduction to the book of Romans is saying, let's get a couple of things straight. There's one standard for righteousness, faith, salvation, redemption, and so forth, and it's according to what has been taught before. Let me just take a little bit more. Let me read this as a conclusion for you. Romans 1:22. Let me read there. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their heart, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural affection of that which is unnatural. And in the same way, he also abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and their gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You know what he just did? This is going to come as a shock to you. In the next episode, I'm going to explain in the law where he just taught. Because he just taught Leviticus chapter 17 and 18 to you. Now, he didn't say it's from Leviticus 17 and 18. Anybody who knows the Torah knows that. Because this teaching he just gave is what is referred to by Torah scholars and Torah concept. It's called the heart of the law. He's teaching right off the bat the heart of the law. Now, lots of Christians had no idea he was teaching the law. But when we come back to the next episode, hang on to this thought. I'm going to take you to Leviticus 17 and 18. I'm going to show you he's teaching what he just taught in Romans chapter 1. And that's further going to be evidence of how these words have gotten twisted away from the source material that Paul claimed to use, which is the Holy Scriptures and the prophets. So that's our program for this week. I look forward to seeing you again in our next program. Shalom to everyone.